Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me? Yeah. Oh, it's on. Oh, the podcast has started. It's on. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and this is a podcast where I talk about interesting information. And so, yeah, and it might be half an hour long or an hour long or even 3 hours long, like last week. But I really doubt that, because last week was a very special week, a very special podcast. I recommend listening to it. It's where I talk a lot about Scientology. It's very interesting. It needs to be 3 hours long, because it's such a big topic. And I just wanted to mention something on that last podcast. So basically the podcast was about me discovering the truth about Scientology, like what it is. And people might think, well, duh, as if you didn't know it was a cult before you got into it. And you have to understand that I was investigating it, if you know what I mean. I heard some things. You can't trust things you hear. You know, you have to find out what things are for yourself. So I was going into it to find out what it was and investigating it and stuff. And then kind of did get a bit brainwashed by it. That's by the church, not by the religion. Religion's a separate thing, I was trying to explain in the previous podcast. The religion's pretty cool, and so get into it, but I just can't really recommend going to the church because it's a bit of a... It's a bit strict. Let's just say that. I go into all those details about it in the previous podcast. But, yeah, because it's just, you just can't believe things you hear and you don't really know what the truth of it is, and I don't regret going into it at all. It's the best thing I ever did, and now I understand what's going on, and not many people understand what it is. And it's just, it's amazing to think it took 5 years of doing it and investigating it to discover that Scientology, when people say Scientology, they're actually a lot of the time referring to the Church of Scientology. So this is why you can get so confused about the terms. They get confused. Scientology is just a religion, and the Church of Scientology is a large organization and like a church, and it's like set up like a corporation actually that makes money but somehow is tax exempt. But because heaps of people refer to Scientology instead of saying the Church of Scientology, you get confused, and when you get into it, you think, oh, this is Scientology, and you're at the church, and you think, oh, this is all Scientology, and the truth is, this is your experience of the religion, this is your experience of Scientology through the Church of Scientology, and you can experience Scientology through other places. There are places called Ron's Org and Free Zone and Independent Scientologists and Milestone 2. And these are, and like Church of the New Civilization, and these are other churches and stuff that, other churches where you can do Scientology without having to get involved with the pretty strict and expensive, church. I don't know why, you know, it's because any sort of organization or church just always gets corrupted. It's like, you hear about this pedophile priest and stuff. I mean, that's nothing wrong with Jesus or Christianity. It's just those priests that are dodgy, you know. Don't let that ruin things for you, you know. Like, check out Christianity as well. I just realized I forgot my green tea, which is just outrageous, and I've got to pause this podcast. I've got to come back with that green tea, so I'll be back in a second. Okay, well, that was embarrassing. I did have my tea here, but it was just behind the computer, and I couldn't see it. Of course, I wouldn't forget my green tea. So, as always, when you hear this noise, don't be alarmed, that's just me sipping on some cheap green tea. So, what's this podcast going to be about? Yep. Ooh. Well, I've still got attention on this whole Scientology thing because it's such a big issue. It's so interesting. So maybe I'll just talk about that. Why not? Just do a short half an hour one. So, like I mentioned in the previous podcast, certain people, when the church started to go crazy in the 80s, what happened was to do courses at the Church of Scientology, it always costed money from the start. I mean, you can't do things for free. You know, you got to have a building and pay for rent and pay for staff and that sort of stuff. So to do a course, let's say in the 60s, you know, and to get some counselling in the 60s, you would have to pay some money. But things sort of got more and more screwed up into the 70s. And by the early 80s, the prices went up to just ridiculous amounts. And it was like, apparently it went up like 15 times. So let's say you had a course in the 60s you'd be doing for $500. Well, in the 80s, it would be 500 times 15. I can't just stop thinking, what's that, like 10,000? I don't know. Now, during that time, also, a lot of other prices were going up as well. In the 70s, there was a lot of, the prices of fuel went up a lot. Heaps of things went up, but at the Church of Scientology, the prices went up a lot more, you know what I mean? A lot more than just the prices of food in Safeway. And it became, just became unable to be afforded, really, for just an average person, which was just ridiculous. And so some people just saw the new management that were coming through and disagreed with it and thought it was wrong and told them where to go and left the church and started their own sort of organizations and churches. And the church didn't like this. And the church was saying, you know, you're not allowed to deliver Scientology at your other places. That's copyright. You know, we own that copyright. You can't deliver those courses. We own those courses and stuff. And that gets into difficult territory because you can do that with like businesses and stuff. And when it comes to religion, though, it's a whole different ball game. It's like, well, if you're a church, then you can't copyright things, apparently. You know what I mean? It's different. But if it's like a computer, then you can't, and it's a business, then you can't copy and you can sue the other person. So the church was trying to claim that they're a church, yet at the same time they were setting up the organization like a corporation and were suing other people for copying them, essentially, copying the Scientology courses. And I think, I don't know all the details about it, but I think legally, yeah, you can do it outside of the church, but because the church can't copyright it because it's a church, it's apparently a non-for-profit organization. So, you know. But, of course, that didn't stop the church from just, because the church through the legal, through the law couldn't get them to stop practicing Scientology outside of the church. What they did was they were like, okay, well, let's just piss them off a lot and just annoy them, make things hard for them so that they just give up and stop doing it, and then only our churches deliver the courses. Now, don't think that, you know, all of the people who were going to the Scientology churches were involved in this. This was just a small part of the management high up in America who were involved in all this. You know, the average person going to the local church doesn't know anything about this, and the average volunteer at their local church doesn't know anything about this. It's not really anything to do with them. It's just a special part of the church who dealt in these situations, and it's called the Office of Special Affairs. And it's kind of like the intelligence organization for the church. It's kind of like the church's version of the CIA. So, you know, the CIA deals in secretive national security sort of things in America, and spies and all that sort of stuff. Well, the church has their version called the Office of Special Affairs, and it has a similar function. So that's just one small part of the management up in America. So what I'm talking about here, that these court cases and that sort of stuff and using the law, the average person has no idea what's going on, and it has nothing to do with them, who's in the church. Now, so like I was saying, this Office of Special Affairs were trying to stop these people from practicing Scientology independently of the church. I'll give you an example, just in case you don't understand what I'm talking about. Imagine if someone started McDonald's, right? And it was this great place and they had burgers and all this sort of stuff. And then a new corrupt leader of McDonald's comes along and starts charging ridiculous amounts for the burgers and started stuffing up the burgers and started making it a bad experience for the customers. Well, imagine if some of the workers at McDonald's then said, screw this, I'm leaving and starting my own McDonald's, right? And then they left and they started their own McDonald's and they were called independent McDonald's, McDonaldologists, you know what I mean? And then the headquarters of McDonald's goes, screw you, to these independent ones. They go, you're stealing our burgers, you're not allowed to do this. Well, McDonald's can do that because it's actually a corporation. But if McDonald's calls itself, let's say McDonald's called themselves a church, then that's a whole different ball game. That's like, hold on, you're a non-for-profit organization, so you can't stop other people from practicing their religion freely, you know? So by law, I think they couldn't stop these people from practicing Scientology independently of the church. So they just annoyed them. So they just kept on taking them to court and doing different court cases and spending years in court. And then they also did things like hire private investigators or people to go and annoy these people who are running these private churches, and just made their life really difficult. Like things like, I don't know, even throw eggs at their house and just like try and shut down their websites, just do all these annoying things, right? And it works on some people. Some people just end up going, you know what, I give up. You know, I'm just sick of this stuff and I'm not going to put up with it. And so some people stopped, but other people continued and kept on fighting it. And they're the organizations that exist today. And they have some different names and stuff. I mentioned them earlier. And so these people still really like Scientology and they disagree with how the church is run. And they, I hope I'm not boring anyone. So I just got to get this sort of stuff off my chest. It's such a big issue. It's so interesting, you know. And so they're still running today, and they're, and because of the internet, they can communicate with other people who have left the church and who agree about things being done wrong in the church, and they're just growing bigger and bigger, and as the years go on, as the church is pissing off more and more people who are in it, they're leaving. See, like when you're in the church, you can get into it in a few years. You might see one or two things that you disagree with. But then as the years go on, more and more things you see where you go, something's not quite right here. Like, what's going on with management? This seems wrong, or blah, 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 that seems wrong. So as the years go on, people, more and more people leave because they find out it's a bit of a crock of shit. Like, it's dodgy, you know? And So now this independent field is growing bigger and bigger and better and better. And we're going to get one started in Melbourne soon. There really should be one in Melbourne. Because at the moment you can only really go to the church to get a to do Scientology courses. And I'm looking forward to doing it, and I did some when I was in the church, I did some counselling stuff, and it was all right, and I improved, but I didn't think it was that good. I thought it was just fairly quick. I was like, oh wow, I finished that course quickly, and that next one quickly. But I don't know if I got much spiritual wins from it, you know what I mean? Like improvements and stuff. Because some people do them and they feel blown away and they're like, wow, I feel so good. And I didn't really have many moments like that. And then I spoke to somebody who had left the church 10 years ago, and they were very high up in the church and they disagreed with what was going on. And they were quite highly trained in how to deliver the courses and stuff. and I told them about some of the stuff I'd done, and they were kind of, they agreed with me that what I was getting was wrong, and they thought that, yeah, something's definitely wrong, and they were quite upset because they know that the church is doing things not the way they're supposed to be. It's not the way they're supposed to. Not that they're doing it on purpose, only that I think the guy at the top knows that he's changing things. But someone at just a local church just thinks what they're doing is correctly, how they're delivering the counselling is correct, but it's kind of not. And this person, yeah, was like, she said, you know, how long did you take to do grade three? And I was like, well, I said to her, I go, is 5.5 hours a normal amount of time to do grade three, for example? And she was like, no, that's completely quickied. Like, that's just done way quicker than what it's supposed to be. And I was like, yeah, I kind of thought that. I kind of thought it just went really quick and I didn't get much from it. She was quite upset because she knows that the church is doing things wrong. And she's actually upset by some of the things I said because she was, like, annoyed that how things are just so wrong in the church and they're slowly getting better. But I don't know, maybe they're not getting better. But anyway, so I'm going to, in the future, just hire her privately to do some of these courses and stuff and the grades and all that and fix up some of the stuff that I did in the past. Yeah, because I feel like, you know, I really want to try Scientology and really want to get out of it what other people have gotten out of it, so give it a good go. And I don't have to pay, you know, $200 an hour for it. I can pay, you know, whatever I negotiate with the lady who is trained in it, is willing to do it for, you know. And I think it would be at least $60 an hour. They go through a lot of training and it's their livelihood, so maybe $60 or $100 an hour. But when you do lots of hours of it, when you do 50 hours of it, you know, $200 an hour and $100 an hour, it makes such a big difference. And if you want to do it at the head church in America, it's like you have to pay like $400 an hour. Like, it's crazy how expensive it is. And you have to pay to fly over there and all this sort of stuff. So that's kind of out of the question. Anyway, after what I've been doing recently and talking about this sort of stuff, I'll be in a lot of trouble when I go back to them anyway. So I wouldn't be allowed to do it. So, you know, I won't be going back to them pretty much, you know. So, yeah, what a boring podcast this one is. Well, maybe I'll talk about the last few years of L. Ron Hubbard's life from what information I've seen, what seems to have happened. So it started off as being self-help stuff, you know what I mean, like philosophy stuff. Stuff to make you smarter in the early 50s. And then it became, when he learnt more and more about the spirit, it evolved into more of a religion. And then things were looking really cool in the 60s. He invented a lot of stuff and things were looking great. And that was when it would be the coolest time to go into one of the churches, because they had all these people who were in it who were, like, interested in the mind and doing these cool things, and apparently some of them could, like, seriously, some of them could move objects with their mind and stuff, and with the therapy and the counselling, people could cure people of their need to wear glasses. So seriously, apparently there'll be like reception at some of the churches, and they'll have glasses in there, put there by people who no longer need them anymore, and they just left them at reception, so in case anyone wants to have them for free or whatever. Because when you know Scientology and the topic, and you're good at delivering the courses and stuff and the counselling, I think you can do these things, you know. And whereas nowadays in the church, because it's been corrupted for so long, and the people who are into it, people who are doing it are trained in, like, this robotic way. It changed from they're called auditors, right, the counsellors, right? They were, like, switched on smart people who were into philosophy and read stuff by Hubbard and then learnt how to deliver stuff. And But then it changed to be like really Nazi and strict with this new management that I was talking about. And it was like, you do it this way and you blah, blah, blah. And it stopped auditors from having to think. It just made them like robots. Like, here's a piece of paper. You do this counseling and that person. And if this happens, you do this. And that happens, you do that. And it's like the auditors stopped being smart and stopped really knowing their topic and just robotically following ways. And also, like I said, when the new management came in and the good Scientologists who were smart and switched on and disagreed with these new rules, when they left, that was like a brain drain. Like, it took away the good talent, right? So then what were left were people who were just simple and followed rules and didn't really know, didn't really understand the philosophy of Scientology. So in the 90s and the 2000s and now, so I think it's only just starting to get better now, if you go to get counseling, the person's more of a robot and they're not that good at it, you know? Anyway, so that's why back in the 60s and the 50s, people could have been cured of their ability to have to wear glasses, because people are a lot smarter. And I've noticed this since being involved with the church. I've looked at different generations, and I've looked at my grandparents' generation, who were the original first sort of people to get into it in the 50s and the 60s. And then I've looked at the baby boomers, and I've looked at the people after the baby boomers, people who are around the age of 45 now. And I can actually see how, just the people who are going into the church, I can actually see how their intelligence actually kind of gets less and less and less. Like, seriously, like some of the old ones, my grandparents' generation, they do seem wise and cool and understanding of the philosophy of Scientology and stuff. And then the next generation, they're switched on, and these were people who were the baby boomers who were into it in the 80s, because it takes years and years to screw up the religion. So even though all these changes in the 80s stuff, there were still some smart people in there, and it was still kind of cool. And then in the 90s, the people, you know, sorry, then after the baby boomers, you get the generation below that. And they like weren't, they're not that switched on when it comes to Scientology, and they're not as philosophical, and you sort of can't sit down and have a long conversation with them about the topic, whereas the old timers you could sit down and talk to about Scientology, and they really had perspective, and they really sort of know things for themselves, whereas the people who are new to it nowadays, they're more like just robots doing what they're told. They don't seem as wise, you know, and there's two reasons for that, because the way the church is changed, the way it's been run, so that people come in and they're just robots, right? Like, they're not taught to think with it, where the people in the 60s were, like, in the 50s were able to experiment with the technology and, like, work out how to audit someone and work out what's best for them, whereas now they're just, like, if someone comes in, they're like, you do this, you do blah, 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 and it's, like, really robotic. Whereas you can't treat everyone like a robot, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's different, everyone needs different types of counselling and stuff. I'll give you an example. Someone in the 60s could be delivering a counselling session, and they'll be, like, talking to someone, they'll be like, as a counsellor, they would sit there and they'll be more themselves, whereas in the 90s and the 2000s, a person would sit there, and because they were scared of getting into trouble, they would be more robotic and be like, yes, okay, good, now we do this. And, like, they lost their personality. It lost its coolness that it had in the 60s and the 70s. It was cool back then, you know, and it was fun to do, whereas, you know, it was more robotic in the 90s and 2000s. So I could see in the generations from grandparents to, like, my parents' generation and then generation below that, I could see how they less and less came across as being wise.
And that's just interesting, seeing how it's changed, you know, like, it's just interesting. Because I spoke to someone who was part of the baby boomer generation, and you got into it in the 80s, and he's had like a knowledge of the technology of Scientology and the philosophy of it, and you could like hold a conversation, and it was interesting, and he'd say, oh, look at this thing that L. Ron Hubbard wrote, and look at that, and like could talk with it, and he could apply it to his life and think with it, you know what I mean? And then the next generation younger than him, you can't even have a conversation with them. Like, it's kind of sad, actually. You can't even have a conversation with them about the topic. Like, it's like they don't even really understand what the hell Scientology is, and they're not even really that into it. They're just like, yeah, I did this course and I did that course. And they're still wearing glasses, yet they've done heaps of counselling. It's like, why do you still have to wear glasses then? Whereas someone, if they were around in the 60s, they would have had that cured, you know? So it's just really interesting, you know? It's pretty sad, though. It's pretty sad because it's my generation, right? If you speak to them who are in the church, they just don't even know anything. Like, I don't really think they know much at all. And there's another reason as well why the modern Scientologists aren't like the older ones. It's also because when the prices got put up to ridiculous amounts in the 80s to do the courses, you couldn't afford to do the courses as much, you know. So the people hadn't done as much. People around today haven't done as many courses as when people were doing it in the 70s, you know, because they could actually afford it back then, you know. Actually, what happened was that it was cool to be an auditor and to deliver the counselling and stuff and learn it, and then it became more and more strict and Nazi, and people were scared to make mistakes with the counselling, and it was really robotic and more boring, and and because it became more expensive, people were just like, well, I'm not going to become an auditor. I'm just going to save up my money and pay for me to get audited myself. So they just paid for other people to deliver the counselling on them. And they didn't have the whole education side of it. They didn't have the whole philosophy side. They just had more the auditing side. And auditing's good, but you have to do both. You really have to do both. Otherwise, you just don't know what the hell's going on, and you can be someone who's like, you just don't. Knowledge will set you free. The truth will set you free, and you need to have. You can do a lot of meditation and yoga and this cool Scientology counseling and stuff, but you have to combine that with actually learning things as well and making yourself smarter, and then they work really well hand in hand. Otherwise, you just got someone, if they just do a lot of the auditing and a lot of the spiritual side of it, you get someone who's happy, but they don't really know anything, you know? Also, the people who were around it in the 50s and 60s knew that L. Ron Hubbard was just a man that was like a bit of a creative genius and interesting, and didn't look at him as like being some sort of God figure or something. Or some sort of prophet. They just looked at him as being this really smart guy. Whereas now it's like, because the way they changed the way the church has been run, it's like they worship the guy much more as being like, whoa, who is this? Wow, he's amazing. He knows everything. And basically, if someone was doing it in the 60s, they would question stuff that Hubbard wrote more. Whereas now they don't question it more, and it's just more like you spoon-fed information from him and just assumed to believe it. You know? Yeah, things were a lot better in the 60s. Yeah. Anyway. That's why you get some people who've done a lot of the counselling and stuff, and they don't seem that wise and switched on, and then you think, oh, well, Scientology is a bit of a crock of shit. And some people will say that on the internet, but it's like, nah, it's just been given a bit of a bad name, but it's... They actually can do really, really can do some cool stuff with it. It can really improve a person. I've seen some people, when they get the counselling done correctly, really improve from it and be a lot happier and smarter and healthier. So, yeah, all right, that's about 30 minutes is up. Yeah, that's all I really have to say on it. But, I was just talking about how things changed. So, Hubbard was still running the churches in the 60s and stuff, and it was going really good. And then about the mid-70s, that's when things really started going downhill because Hubbard stopped. He was in old age and stuff, and he stopped running the churches. So when he stopped running them, they started going down the toilet, and this new leader took over and screwed things up, and then Hubbard passed away. And there, things were pretty retarded, and it just became ridiculously expensive and, yeah, pretty corrupt. And so, I mean, I don't know how Hubbard really died and what the whole story is about that. Everything's so hard to find out the truth of that situation. But all I know is that things were pretty good up until 1975, and then things started going really questionable. And even stuff that was written by Hubbard was, like, not as good as what it used to be, and maybe he was going senile in his old age, and he was researching some really powerful therapy, and maybe in the researching of that therapy he could have screwed up his own mind and gone crazy, like, because that's possible. I've seen people go crazy on some of this really intense therapy in Scientology that's really high up. Some people do go crazy on it. So because he was researching it and developing it and inventing it, he could have just, you know, like a mad scientist, accidentally screwed himself up. Because some of the actions of things he did started to go a bit questionable. But also at this point in the last 10 years of his life, it was like other people were running the church, and so they could have released things and said that they were from Hubbard, but they weren't, and they could have just lied and pretended like it was from L. Ron Hubbard. So it's just so hard to find out the truth of the last 10 years of his life. It was just such a questionable period. Yep. So anyway, that's it. Next week I won't talk about Scientology again. I just thought I might as well finish it off because it's a very big and interesting religion and philosophy. It's just, I'll give you one thing that it has, for example. In it, you learn a thing called a tone scale, and it's like the emotions that people have, and it explains how certain people are stuck in certain emotions. So some people tend to be bored all the time, or some people tend to be angry all the time, or some people tend to be fearful all the time, like they seem a little bit scared, you know. And it's not like they're always like that, but a lot of the time they are like that. And there's certain ways of picking, like you can tell when someone's angry because it's pretty obvious, but there's certain ways of picking what emotion people have. Like some people are happy all the time as well, and you can look at someone and you can find out, you can look at them and say, oh, they seem to be this emotion, and then you can predict their behavior from what emotion they are. So if you come across someone who's angry all the time, you like sort of Hitler, you know, you can see their behavior and you can look at them and go, oh, well, I want to avoid that person. I should stay away from that person. And if I give that person a promotion, they're going to screw up the business. And actually, that's what happened with the Church of Scientology. Got taken over by a guy who was anger-toned, very, very anger-toned. And so that's why he screwed up the whole religion and church. That's what anger-toned people do. And I've worked for a boss who has a lot of anger problems, and he was screwing up his own business because he was just so angry all the time. And this tone scale thing, it really, knowing it and knowing all the traits and being able to pick what people's emotional tones are, it really, really is helpful, and it helped me heaps. And it was one of the, it's all explained in a book called, like, Science of Survival, and that book's awesome, and it really helped me, and it helps me on business and work, because I can speak to someone and go, oh, that person's that emotion, if people are normal, it's all right. You don't need to worry too much about their emotion. But when they start showing some of the negative emotions, you go, oh, this person, oh, you can't trust what they say because they tend to lie, because there's some people who are stuck in certain emotion levels that lie all the time. So then you go, oh, this person, oh, I don't want to be friends with this person, or I don't want to work with this person because they're bad. So it's really helpful because you can use it to avoid certain people, you know. So that's a really powerful when you read that book and understand how to pick people's emotions and that, it's a really powerful tool and life-changing tool that you can have that just helps you for the rest of your life. It's just awesome. So that's just one little example of the things that you learn in Scientology. It's just awesome, and it's true, you know. Because the main reason that emotion one's really handy is because there are some people who are emotion called covert hostility, and they are basically these angry people, but it's hidden. They don't show their anger, right? And that's the most interesting tone of them all, because those people can trick you and you can become friends with them and you can hire them to work for you or you can work for them. And because you don't know that they're angry, because it's not obvious, they can really screw things up for you and cause all these problems. But when you really understand this tone level and the traits that people have, you can spot if someone's covertly hostile, and then you can just avoid them. And it's great. And I know how to do it, and I avoid them. Or if they do screw me over, I go, oh, yeah, that's right, they're covertly hostile, I shouldn't have been involved with them. And it really helps me. So that's really just, yeah, it's, you have to experience it for yourself. You have to study the book. Anyway. All right, that's it for me. Andy Nolch, Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Signing out. Ni hao.